I don't believe that people who are the L, the G, the B, or the T should be persecuted, assaulted, imprisoned, even killed for who they are. Too many people believe they have a direct line to the divine, and they never want to change their mind about anything. They're never open to new information, and they like to operate in an evidence-free zone. You could not be having the sweep of marriage equality across our country if nobody changed their mind. And thank goodness so many of us have.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Luxembourg jumps the broom, thousands promote pink families in Hong Kong, and Hillary engages in a heated marriage equality debate. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm Natalie Peoples.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news interaffecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending June 21st, 2014. Lawmakers in the tiny European nation of Luxembourg approved a bill on June 18th to extend civil marriage and adoption rights to same-gender couples. And it wasn't even close. The vote was 56-4. The outcome was expected, though perhaps not so resoundingly, in a country that's already elected openly gay Xavier Bettel as its prime minister. As it happens, his deputy prime minister, Etienne Schneider, is also an out gay man. The country's Roman Catholic Church may have eased the process by staying publicly silent on the draft legislation, perhaps because a public opinion poll conducted last year found 83% of the population in support of marriage equality. The Associated Press called the legislation the most fundamental rewrite of Luxembourg's laws on marriage since 1804. According to the official government website for the Chamber of Deputies, the new statutes could take effect in early 2015, or 6 months after their official publication. Luxembourg becomes the 17th country in the world to open civil marriage to lesbian and gay couples. It joins Argentina, Belgium, Brazil, Canada, Denmark, England and Wales, France, Iceland, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Portugal, South Africa, Spain, Sweden, and Uruguay. Same-gender civil marriages are expected to begin in Scotland later this year. Gay and lesbian couples can also legally marry in some parts of the United States and Mexico.
In heavily Roman Catholic Italy, Prime Minister Matteo Renzi announced government legislation this week to create civil unions for the country's same-gender couples and to recognize the civil marriages of same-gender couples legally performed elsewhere. Efforts to pass civil unions legislation over the past 2 decades in the Italian Parliament have failed. But the Prime Minister and his center-left Democrats included a call for LGBT equality in their party platform. And Renzi told La Repubblica that the rights for same-gender couples in civil unions will be the same as those for married heterosexual couples. The latest polls indicate majority support in Italy for civil unions. Ivan Scalfarotto, the Democratic Party's openly gay vice president, told reporters that, "In a perfect world, I would like to have marriage equality in Italy, but I would rather have civil unions immediately." The Italian Senate is expected to begin debate on the legislation in September. The Vatican announced in April that Catholic bishops would be holding what it called an extraordinary meeting later this year to discuss the growing acceptance of same-gender unions around the world, though no one expects a significant change in church policy to result.
The General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA approved a proposal this week by a 71% majority to change the definition of marriage in the Christian denomination's Book of Order from the union of a man and a woman to two people. The overwhelming margin of victory came as a bit of a surprise to many who've seen similar proposals narrowly defeated in previous years. Holding its biennial meeting in Detroit, the Assembly also passed a measure allowing Presbyterian clergy to immediately begin performing wedding ceremonies for gay and lesbian couples in the 19 U.S. states and the District of Columbia that have legalized it. A majority of the 172 regional presbyteries must still vote to ratify the new language, but given the lopsided 3-1 vote in the Assembly, the Religion News Service predicts easy approval. The 1.8 million member Presbyterian Church USA has been ordaining openly gay and lesbian ministers, including those who are partnered, since 2011.
In other news, the Hong Kong government has asked the British consulate not to host the civil marriages of same-gender couples. The British Foreign and Commonwealth Office announced last week that overseas missions could perform weddings for Britons and their partners, even in countries where it's illegal under local laws, unless the hosting jurisdiction objects. The 23 countries with British consulates around the world named last week to host the marriages of British same-gender couples include Russia and mainland China. Neither of those countries has opposed the move. Hong Kong activists criticized both their local officials and the British government. Nigel Collette of the LGBT rights group Pink Alliance told the media that the British Foreign Office is allowing conservative and homophobic elements in the bureaucracy of this city to dictate what is done on the soil of a British consulate. But there were reports later in the week that the British consulate is reconsidering its compliance with Hong Kong's request after someone pointed out that the Spanish consulate in Hong Kong has been marrying same-gender couples for quite some time.
And more than 11,000 people demonstrated for equality at Hong Kong's Tamar Park on June 15th. Organizers called the event We Are Family, The Freedom to Love. Mirroring a similar expression of support for LGBT rights in Singapore, the first-ever family-themed Pink Dot Hong Kong featured picnics, an outdoor concert, and special guest appearances. Attendees wore pink T-shirts and gathered together to form an impressive pink dot as seen from above to symbolize solidarity and inclusiveness. Brian Leung of the Big Love Alliance, which along with the Pink Alliance sponsored the event, said that we are more than thrilled by the turnout and the atmosphere of the inaugural Pink Dot.
The notoriously anti-equality U.S. National Organization for Marriage must be sorely disappointed, however. Even though they bussed people in from outside the district for the much-ballyhooed event, a paltry 2,000 die-hard opponents of marriage equality rallied against it on the west lawn of the U.S. Capitol on June 19th. The usual suspects joined NOM President Brian Brown to speak at the rally. They included failed Republican presidential wannabes Mike Huckabee and Rick Santorum, San Francisco Roman Catholic Archbishop Salvatore Cotterlone, outspokenly anti-LGBT Bishop Harry Jackson of Hope Christian Church in Beltsville, Maryland, and New York State Senator Ruben Diaz. Ludovine de Rocher, who led efforts to oppose France's civil marriage equality law that took effect last year, exhorted the crowd to never surrender. Of the underwhelming crowd, veteran gay journalist Rex Walkner tweeted, "There are that many people wandering around the mall at random on any pleasant day. Hashtag maximum fail."
Updating a previous report, the Canadian government has now granted visas to a group of Ugandan LGBT activists so they can attend the World Pride 2014 Human Rights Conference in Toronto in the coming week. Immigration officials reportedly refused to approve the applications when they were originally submitted out of fear that all of the Ugandans would seek political asylum. Equality activists praised the change of heart. Brenda Kossman, director of the University of Toronto's Bonham Center for Sexual Diversity Studies, told the local Star newspaper that the conference is an important part of World Pride, and the Ugandan voices are an integral part to that dialogue. Award-winning Ugandan activist Frank Mugisha, who had already been granted a visa, was scheduled to deliver the keynote address.
Elsewhere, the Obama administration has been trying to bring U.S. law into compliance with last year's Supreme Court ruling allowing the federal government to recognize the legal marriages of same-gender couples. The White House announced just this week that the Department of Labor is beginning the process of extending the benefits detailed in the Family and Medical Leave Act to all married same-gender couples nationwide, even in states that don't recognize those marriages. Other benefits that have already been specifically extended include the ability to file joint federal tax returns, claim insurance and retirement benefits for spouses of federal employees, and spousal benefits for members of the military. But according to a report issued this week by Attorney General Eric Holder, actions by federal agencies and presidential executive orders have gone about as far as they can go. Federal law allows the Social Security Administration and the Department of Veterans Affairs to offer benefits only to same-gender couples living in states that recognize their marriage. As the advocate noted, for example, If a couple lives in a state that does not recognize their marriage and one spouse dies, the other spouse does not have access to federal Social Security survivors' benefits.
Those critical laws can't be changed without congressional action. Several pending bills identified by the Human Rights Campaign include the Respect for Marriage Act, the Veteran Spouses Equal Treatment Act, the Military Spouses Equal Treatment Act, Protecting the Freedoms and Benefits for All Veterans Act, and the Social Security and Marriage Equality Act. In a media release, Evan Wolfson of Freedom to Marry praised the Obama administration, noting that the federal government had gone from being the number one discriminator against gay people to now putting its moral and legal weight on the side of our families, the Constitution, and the freedom to marry. But it's time for Congress, and especially the Supreme Court, to finish the job.
And finally, it wasn't all that long ago that conventional wisdom equated support for LGBT rights with political suicide. But his support for marriage equality didn't seem to hamper the re-election this week of Colombian President Juan Manuel Santos. The 62-year-old Santos, first elected in 2010, defeated former Finance Minister Oscar Iván Zuluaga by a 6-point margin. But Santos has his work cut out for him. A marriage equality bill was overwhelmingly defeated in Colombia's Senate last year. The national LGBT rights group Colombia Diversa applauded Santos's re-election victory, however, noting that rainbow flags were displayed inside the incumbent's campaign headquarters.
That's News Wrap for the week ending June 21st, 2014. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. I'm Natalie Peoples.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
Hillary gets pilloried on marriage equality later in the program. Who could forget last week's Texas Republican Party platform regression into a revival of so-called reparative therapy? The Daily Show with Jon Stewart offered the Lone Star GOP a typically caustic Comedy Central cure, with some diagnostic assistance from CNN's Anderson Cooper.
At its annual convention over the weekend, the Texas Republican Party endorsed a controversial therapy that purports to fix gay people. It's known as reparative or gay conversion therapy.
What? What? Texas, what? The state that can't even go a week without an oil pipeline spewing thinks it's the gays that need repairing? Now, let's while the rest of the country inches forward on gay rights, Texas apparently hopping into Doc Brown's DeLorean and setting the dial to the 1950s. It's the subject of tonight's Gay Watch, Texas edition, Remember the No Homo. Reparative therapy's been derided as praying the gay away. Perhaps we should mention that some of the techniques reparative therapists use involve threatening to hook their genitals up to electrodes or ordering someone to bottle their feces and sniff it whenever they are attracted to a man. Given that all reputable psychologists and doctors have repudiated reparative therapy, and that the largest reparative therapy purveyor even apologized for the damage they caused, why would Texas teach the controversy, so to speak?
The language is in the platform because we want to make sure that people have rights.
Texas lawmaker Brian Hughes.
This is about giving people choices.
Oh. This is about Texas GOP being pro-choice. They want to preserve choice for their citizens. Choice in their lives, in their health care options. Well, some of their health care options.
More than 6 million people in this state do not have health insurance. It's about 24% of the total population.
We're not going to participate in exchanges.
Texas Governor Rick Perry.
We're not going to expand Medicaid.
So, gay reparative therapy, yes. Human body reparative therapy. If you're one of the 6 million Texans without health insurance, maybe it's time to tell them you think your arthritis is making you gay. What's that, son? What's that, son? What? You feel like when it's about to rain, you want to suck. Well, put away your wallet. You don't need to copay the gay away. Come on in.
That was a dose of Comedy Central's The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I've got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna kill my ill. I got a bad case of loving you.
Hello, I'm Bruce Valanche. When I'm not lounging at Sky Bar with Bette or Whoopi, I'm listening to This Way Out. Please do stay tuned.
Hillary Rodham Clinton may not be officially running for president, but the former U.S. First Lady, Senator, and Secretary of State's current book tour has her running into more hard choices than its title might suggest. One of her more extensive interviews involving LGBT rights was featured on NPR's Fresh Air. It was smooth sailing for Clinton's conversation with host Terry Gross through the deep waters of transsexuality, but they hit rough seas when it came to Clinton's position on marriage equality.
I want to move on to LGBT rights, which was very important to you as Secretary of State. You made it one of your priorities. In fact, you gave a speech at the headquarters of the UN Human Rights Council in Geneva with the goal to place LGBT rights in the international community's framework of human rights. In that speech, you said, like being a woman, like being a racial, religious, tribal, or ethnic minority, being LGBT does not make you less human. And that is why gay rights are human rights, and human rights are gay rights. I found it very interesting that you decided to not limit what you were saying to gay rights, but to include transgender people.
Well, LGBT includes the T, and I wanted to stand up for the entire community. I don't believe that people who are the L, the G, the B, or the T should be persecuted, assaulted, imprisoned, even killed, for who they are. And this was the debate that I was having with leaders in many parts of the world who first denied there were any such people in their communities, that it was all an invention and export of the West, and then would change the argument to they didn't want people being proselytized, they didn't want children being abused. And I said, well, there are laws against that that are certainly appropriate. No one should be coerced. No one should be abused. But you're talking about the status, the very core of who a person is. And it has become, and I think will continue to be, a very important issue for the United States to combat around the world and to stand up for the rights of all people. And as I said, not just women, religious, ethnic, tribal, all people, including the LGBT community.
You added gender identity to the State Department's Equal Employment Opportunity Policy, and you made it easier for Americans to change their sex on their passport. Did you have to sneak that in without a lot of attention? I didn't know you'd done that, but I have a feeling if a lot of people had known you'd done that, you would have gotten a lot of pushback for that, because there's still a lot of people in our country who oppose gay rights and would probably even more so oppose, like, any recognition of the transgender community. So did you do that on on the quiet?
Well, I don't know how quiet it was. Even before I did that, I spoke to the LGBT employees at the State Department. I was aware of their hopes for some changes that might make it easier for them to be the professionals that they had signed up to be. I don't think it was any big secret. I think it was part of the overall efforts to try to treat people with dignity and equality. And certainly the Obama administration made some of its own moves at the same time with respect to the larger federal employee pool. And when I had responsibility for the well-being of the 70,000 or so employees around the world who worked for the State Department and USAID, I had an opportunity through executive action to recognize that there were barriers and vestiges of discrimination that had no place in a modern American workplace, and so I acted.
So what's it like when you're in office and you have to do all these political calculations to not be able to support something like gay marriage that you actually believe in? And you obviously feel very committed to human rights, and you obviously put gay rights as part of human rights, but in doing the calculus, you decided you couldn't support it. Correct me if I'm reading it wrong.
Well, I think you're reading it very wrong. I think that, as I said, just as the president has said, you know, just because you're a politician doesn't mean you're not a thinking human being. And you gather information, you think through positions, you're not 100% set, thank goodness. You're constantly reevaluating where you stand. So for me, marriage had always been a matter left to the states. And in many of the conversations that I and my colleagues and supporters had, I fully endorsed the efforts by activists to work state by state. And in fact, that is what is working. And I think that, you know, being in the position that I was in the Senate, fighting employment discrimination, which we still have some ways to go, was appropriate at that time. As Secretary of State, I was out of domestic politics, and I was certainly doing all I could on the international scene to raise the importance of the human rights of the LGBT community. And then leaving that position, I was able to, you know, very quickly announce that I was fully in support of gay marriage and that it is now continuing to proceed state by state. And I am very, very hopeful that we will make progress and see even, you know, more change in acceptance. One of my big problems right now is that too many people believe they have a direct line to the divine and they never want to change their mind about anything. They're never open to new information and they like to operate in an evidence-free zone. And I think it's good if people continue to change.
So you mentioned that you believe in state by state for gay marriage, but it's the Supreme Court, too. The Supreme Court struck down part of DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, which prevented the federal government from recognizing gay marriage. That part is now struck down. And DOMA was actually signed by your husband when he was president. In spite of the fact that he signed it, were you glad at this point that the Supreme Court struck some of it down?
Of course. And you know, again, let's... We are living at a time when this extraordinary change is occurring, and I'm proud of our country. I'm proud of the people who have been on the front lines of advocacy. But in 1993, that was not the case, and there was a very concerted effort in the Congress to, you know, make it even more difficult and greater discrimination. And what DOMA did is at least allow the states to act. It wasn't going yet to be recognized by the federal government, but at the state level, there was the opportunity. And my husband, you know, was the first to say that, you know, the political circumstances, the threats that were trying to be alleviated by the passage of DOMA, thankfully, we're no longer so preeminent, and we could keep moving forward, and that's what we're doing.
So just to clarify, just one more question on this. Would you say your view evolved since the 90s or that the American public evolved, allowing you to state your real view?
I think I'm an American. I think we have all evolved, and it's been one of the fastest, most sweeping transformations.
No, I understand,
I'm
but a lot
aware.
Of people already believed in it back in the 90s. A lot of but people not, already supported gay marriage.
Not that, but yeah. to be fair, Terry, not that many. Yes, were there activists who were ahead of their time? Well, that was true in every human rights and civil rights movement. But the vast majority of Americans were just waking up to this issue and beginning to, you know, think about it and grasp it for the first time, and, you know, think about their neighbor down the street who deserved to have the same rights as they did, or their son or their daughter. It has been an extraordinarily fast, by historic terms, social, political, and legal transformation, and we ought to celebrate that instead of plowing old ground where, in fact, a lot of people, the vast majority of people, have been moving forward. forward, maybe slowly, maybe tentatively, maybe not as quickly and extensively as many would have hoped, but nevertheless, we are at a point now where equality, including marriage equality in our country, is solidly established, although there will be places, Texas, just to name one, where that is still going to be an ongoing struggle.
I'm pretty sure you didn't answer my question about whether you evolved or it was the American public that changed with you.
I said I'm an American, so of course we all evolved, and I think that that's a fair,
so your opinion
that's
changed.
A fair conclusion.
So you're saying your opinion on gay marriage changed? As opposed to, you just felt it was comfortable.
Somebody is always first, Terry. Somebody's always out front, and thank goodness they are. But that doesn't mean that those who join later in being publicly supportive or even privately accepting that there needs to be change are any less committed. You could not be having the sweep of marriage equality across our country if nobody changed their mind. And thank goodness so many of us have.
So that's one for you changed your mind.
I have to say, I think you are very persistent, but you are playing with my words and playing with what is such an
important
issue.
I'm just trying to clarify
issue.
So I can understand.
No, I don't think you are trying to clarify. I think you're trying to say that, I used to be opposed and now I'm in favor and I did it for political reasons, and that's just flat wrong. So let me just state what I feel like you are implying and repudiate it. I have a strong record. I have a great commitment to this issue, and I am proud of what I've done and the progress we're making.
Yeah, I'm saying, I'm sorry, I just want to clarify what I was saying. No, I was saying that you maybe really believed this all along, but, believed in gay marriage all along, but felt for political reasons America wasn't ready yet and you couldn't say it. That's what I was thinking.
No, that is not true.
Okay.
I did not grow up even imagining gay marriage, and I don't think you probably did either. This was an incredibly new and important idea that people on the front lines of the gay rights movement began to talk about, and slowly but surely convinced others of the rightness of that position. And when I was ready to say what I said it.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that.
Hillary Rodham Clinton's interview with Fresh Air's Terry Gross created such an uproar that Clinton was called upon to continue clarifying in subsequent appearances. She told CNN's Christiane Amanpour that she had indeed evolved over time and was proud to be a full supporter of marriage equality right now. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Christopher Gall and Natalie Peoples contributed program material. Thanks also to Steve Pride. Robert Palmer performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, and our generous listeners for making this program possible. Log on to thiswayout.org to check out our brand new Stitcher Radio on-demand player and download the free mobile app. You'll also find our social media links and much more. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WMNF Tampa, Florida, KSKQ Ashland, Oregon, 3UGE Alexander, Victoria, and more than 200 other radio stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.